you're a great guy.
It's playing It's a Wonderful Life.
Boy, did you hear that, Annie?
I heard it. It's about time one of you lunkheads said it.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that what we're starting to?
No. Not supposed
I've
to.
I've never seen that.
You've never seen It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. Okay. Let's try again. That's a whole show. Okay. So we're just going to pretend you didn't say it. I'll make a note and we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
All right. Wow, that's incredible. Okay, that is the new Thousand Foot Crutch album, The End Is Where We Begin, and that is Light Up the Sky. I play that especially for Mr. Robert Harrington, who is my co-host, because he requested it, didn't you, sir?
One of my favorite bands ever.
And through the sarcasm comes Kidge.
Hey, I'm totally not sarcastic ever.
Oh, wow, I don't think he even knows anymore.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll hear more of that at the end of the show, but it rocks. Trust me, the whole album rocks. This is the best song. That's the best song on the album, though, in my humble opinion, which matters for nothing. So, tonight, we are continuing our series on the exciting Armor of God after a two-week hiatus, two or three weeks anyway, where we couldn't get together. And then I realized today, as preparing for the show, I hadn't even posted the last show.
So, oh, really?
What? So, yeah, the show we recorded 3 weeks ago came out today.
Hey.
Yay.
And that shows you that I've been listening, because I didn't even know that.
It shows a lot of people have been listening, because nobody told me. Okay. So, we have an audience of none. No, I'm kidding. If you are listening, though, please let us know. Send us an email, brad.mcfadden@gmail.com. And you can just send it to that one email, and I'll make sure everybody gets it. But that way you don't have to learn three emails or something like that. But so, yeah, let us know you're listening and getting something or anything out of this. And contribute, suggest topics, got problems with something we said. Hey, hold us accountable. Be good Bereans and let us know. All right.
Did
today,
you call all of our listeners coffee makers?
No. I don't think I did.
No, I could have sworn you called them all baristas.
No, Bereans. Bereans, yes. Those were the people that examined what Paul was teaching them and made sure it lined up with the Word of God.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but thanks.
All right, then.
Thanks for that. If I was going to call them a coffee maker, it would have been a Keurig. Because I love my Keurig. Okay.
We are the disposable one cup little plastic things to your coffee makers, listeners.
There you go.
There you go. That's right. What a great analogy. And when we get stuck, you know, you have to run vinegar through us. All right. Well, let's go to the breastplate of righteousness. Kid, you want to lead? Oh, wait. Who's up first? Kid, you want to lead us off?
Let me pull up Ephesians 6 real quick here.
Okay.
So, yes. We had talked last time, or today, I guess, is how it's being played out, about the belt of truth, girding your waist with truth.
Yes.
Now, to continue, Ephesians 6:14, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we will be talking about the breastplate of righteousness.
Awesome.
Just to kind of give everyone kind of a back story, continuing on my whole study into the Roman armor of the first century Roman Empire, the primary armor used by Roman troops at this point was called the Lorica Hamata. Lorisa? I don't know how you pronounce the C's in Latin. But a lot of people think, oh, it's, you know, that whole, you know, manly-looking six-pack ab metal breastplate thing, or it's the whole plates of bands of metal overlapping and that sort of stuff. But while the banded metal-looking armor existed, it was not the most common. The most common was this Lorica Hamata, which is actually chainmail. And it was actually specifically designed to be impenetrable to thrown darts, which could actually be thrown further than javelins. But I just thought that was an interesting sort of detail, that they could block darts, because in verse 16, it talks about the shield talks about taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the breastplate of righteousness, designed also to stop fiery darts as well. Oh, and I thought that was quite interesting.
That is interesting.
Yes. I guess I'd be kind of being above reproach and being avoiding the appearance of evil and that sort of thing through the righteousness of Christ and that sort of stuff.
Well, I do know the fiery darts hurt. Right. I mean, that's what we're up against. And we are taken captive by the lies, and those lies, those fiery darts are, they cause damage. Just like in real battle, if you were to be hit by one, it was the design not to kill you, but to hurt you as much as possible and perhaps spread the fire to others. And a wounded soldier is actually worse than a dead soldier, because a wounded soldier requires, first of all, it's demoralizing because there's somebody on the battlefield screaming, right, for help. And secondly, there's the resources have to be dedicated to take that soldier off the field and try to heal him. I think it's the same way in our Christian life. If we are hurt, we're not being effective. We're actually the ones crying out for help. And then when we should be sharing the gospel, other Christians have to turn and then help us. And you expend energy in consoling us or bringing us along, discipling and ministering to us when we should all be fighting the enemy and ministering. So I think I like the analogy of the fiery darts and how that is, I think, a big problem in the church today is, you know, it's like who needs the most help, the world or fellow Christians, you know? It seems like we're all reaching out to saying, oh, I'm struggling here, I'm struggling there. And how many effective soldiers do we have? But through the power of Christ, though, if we'll just turn all those troubles over to Christ, then we can all have victory and be effective warriors. So, oh, anyway, I didn't mean to steal the show there. Robert, did you have something to add?
Yeah, in my research, one of the places said that the breastplate of righteousness was to protect you from arrows, you know, and fiery darts. And they said, ironically, that there's a passage in 1 Kings, I think 22, when it was talking about King Ahab. He was apparently an evil king, and he was being kind of weaselly, and he had allied himself with King Jehoshaphat, who was wearing kingly robes and everything. Well, and King Ahab had armor on, and when it got right down to it, he actually took an arrow in between, like the breastplate and some other piece of armor that it was connected to, and it killed him.
Doesn't that always happen?
I hate that. You can't leave that spot open. So, you know, it was just interesting that he was evil, and so his armor didn't really protect him.
There you go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about righteousness.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Go ahead.
I found this. Vines. It's a biblical dictionary.
Yes.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
It's awesome.
It defines the word as the character or quality of being right or just. It was formerly spelled right wiseness. You know, and I love that word. So.
Yeah, that's neat. I like that. Right wiseness. Hello?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I just read that, which clearly expresses the meaning. Okay, there you go.
Well, so I have some passages that would take us through what, you know, sort of passages on righteousness. If we're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness, we need some sort of understanding of righteousness, biblical understanding of righteousness. So I'm going to take us to a few of these passages. Proverbs 11:4. It says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Again, there's sort of that protection. A breastplate protects our vital organs, you know, the most important part of us. And here we have another reference to that. In Psalm 119:172, my tongue shall speak your word, for all your commandments are righteous. And then we're starting to, with that, lead into where I'm going with this. 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And so anybody who commits sin is not righteous. We all, and then, of course, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So none of us are righteous. So how can we put on the breastplate of righteousness if we have no righteousness? It says, Bible says a man's heart is evil and deceitful. And so we have no righteousness. The breastplate we're going to put on, just like the truth, the belt of truth that we girded ourselves with, was not our truth. It was not a personal truth. It was God's truth. It was God's. God reveals truth to us. And so the breastplate of righteousness is not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And so we put that on. We don't have to protect ourselves with our own good works. We don't have to be good in order to protect. That's not what he's saying there by put on the breastplate of righteousness. He's saying put on Jesus's goodness, put on his righteousness. Strap on and say, forgive me, Lord, for my sins. I'm not worthy, but Jesus Christ is worthy. And I'm going to take my peace. My protection is going to be in that. And that's what we move forward to when we encounter, because the devil will throw up a, oh man, is he good at this? Whenever I get called to go preach or teach or do something like that, or get called to serve in some way, the devil will throw all these reasons at me why it's not going to be good. You know, the Holy Spirit's not going to be with you because of this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin. You know, and so you think you're going to go there and have the Holy Spirit speak through you when you've got all this sin in your heart? You're so far away from God, you can't even see him from here. And so I have to get back down my knees and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins that he's accusing me of. Forgive me for this, forgive me for that. These things have been brought up to my attention, so I need to confess them. And now, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I put on, in the name of Jesus Christ, his righteousness. I claim, you know, the right to go and speak for you, but speak through me, do it through me, not of my own righteousness, but of you. So does that make sense?
Yes.
I think I'm rambling at this point, but
totally.
So it's we're putting on Christ is what the point is. And his righteousness, he lived a righteous life. We don't have to be righteous to have this breastplate. That is his breastplate that we put on. All right.
Yeah. So that's armor number two, that it's not us, you know, the belt. You know, right. We're not using our own truth. We're using the truth. And right. Then the breastplate, the thing that actually protects us, mm-hmm. It's not us either. So it's looking like we don't actually have the right tools, you know, ourselves, that we have to put God's stuff on.
Exactly.
Plus, just another small thing, because there's the comparison of our own righteousness being as filthy rags and Christ's righteousness being the perfect righteousness. Going back to the whole concept of Roman armor and that sort of stuff, this chainmail armor that they had didn't actually require that much maintenance. It was generally rust-free because of the constant friction of the rings with each other. But on the other hand, the more popular-looking whole segmented metal thing, the Lorica Sigmata, that metal thing rusted all the time, and it always had to be maintained and that sort of stuff. So there's that whole additional aspect where the armor that was fancier looking on the outside, mm-hmm. but was also a little bit heavier and required more maintenance to make it continue to look pretty, and was not really as popular with the troops and all this sort of stuff doesn't compare as well to the simple chainmail of trust on that, and it is always going to function for you and that sort of thing. So it's I don't know exactly what point I'm trying to make. I just thought it was
it is interesting
comparison.
It is interesting. And my bottom line is 2 Corinthians 5:21. When a man is saved, God imputes righteousness of Jesus Christ to him. Or to say it another way, God counts him as righteous. That's not a direct translation. That's just sort of what that passage is saying. That we are imputed with righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the breastplate, you can just imagine it's stamped with a big JC on the front of it. It belongs to him, but he lets us wear it.
Mm-hmm. Also, this is another part of the armor that is not a weapon. You know, I think we've known people that use, you know, pretty much their own righteousness as a weapon against other people. And that's when you're using your own
self-righteousness, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, and it's filthy rags. And I don't know that we want to really get into what the filthy rags mean, but it's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And it's not very good at the fiery darts thing, because filthy rags burn very easily.
Yeah. Sure.
And it's like we go back to our foundations, we go back to our houses, you know, and the passage in Matthew where Jesus says, you can build a house without a foundation. You can build it on sand. It'll look pretty. It'll be just as nice and just as pretty as the house that the other guy built on the foundation. In fact, you've saved so much money by not having a foundation, maybe your house looks prettier. Because, you know, that's not important. What's important is what it looks like. So you're going to spend all your time on fancy doorknobs and the chandeliers and the nice, you know, the nice glass, you know, the stained glass. But when the storm comes, there's only one house left. And that's the house with the foundation. That's the house. So self-righteousness is like that. When the fiery darts come, one's going to burn up. But the breastplate of righteousness will save you. All right. Anything else? Other thoughts? The breastplate of righteousness is, to me, not one of the more talkative points of the armor. So that's about all I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't
have it or you don't.
There you go. When we get to the sword of truth, we're going to be there a while. But, you know, I mean, even the feet out of the sandals are
Bible feet.
A lot of cool stuff about the feet. But,
oh, yeah.
So there you have the pretty simple. I like the chainmail thing. That's really neat. They don't rust. That's neat. Well, let's move on then. We're going to move on to After Chat, and we have two giant segments to talk about. Now, Kidge and Robert may have stuff to talk about that doesn't belong in these two segments, but these are my two segments. The coolest stuff out there right now and the lamest stuff out there right now.
Let's do it.
Now, I'm gonna give you a couple of the coolest things out there right now. Any of those that I've listed them in the show notes there. Any of those jump out at you that y'all want to talk about? That y'all think are cool or think are not cool?
Blimey Cow.
Okay, Blimey Cow is not all that new. They've been out for what, 2 years? Been doing this for about a couple of years now?
Yeah, yeah.
But I just found them, so I count it, right?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They are hilarious. They're teenagers to maybe they're in college at this point.
They are all over the age of 20.
Okay, so they're in college, or they're college age. And yes. They don't look that old. I'm old. This is how old I am. But they are really cool. And the more of the videos I watch, the funnier they are. And I love the advice ones when people write in and say, what do I do with this guy? He's my best friend. And if I tell him that I like him, if I tell him that I love him, he'll never speak to me again. And so what do I do? And he's like, he's your best friend, and if you tell him one sentence, he's never going to talk to you again. You need to examine your friendships.
Uh-huh. Who doesn't like to be told that they're loved?
Yeah, I mean, just funny stuff like that. And then some of them are not advice. Some of them are just spoofs and different things. They have lists. I mean, they do all kinds of crazy stuff. But they're all hilarious, and they're all Christian-based, I guess. So,
yes.
Very, very funny.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they're Christian. They're Christians. That's obvious. But not all of the videos have anything to do with Christianity, really, except the principles are expounded there.
they did write the best worship song I probably have ever heard.
How to write a worship song in 5 minutes?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Oh, is that what you guys were talking about? Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I have to check this out.
Oh, there's...
All right, well...
So funny.
It is funny. You need to check that out. It's on YouTube, by the way. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that. Yes. It's a YouTube channel. Blimey Cow. It's spelled B... there'll be a link in the show notes, but it's B-L-I-M-E-Y. Cow. Okay? If you need help spelling cow, you're not going to think it's funny, so don't even go. The next one I want to talk to you about, which I've just found, my nephew, Andrew, and his wife, Alicia, came down for a visit. They were here for a little over a week, and that was one of the reasons we didn't get to record, was we were busy. We were more busy with them than we expected to be because they were so cool. They work for Campus Crusades, and while they were here, they showed us a website on one of the resources of Campus Crusades, which is Campus Crusades for Christ. They go on campuses, if you don't know, they go on college campuses, and they just have a ministry there. They set up Bible studies there. They have events there. They're there to minister and to help kids get through college with their faith intact. Okay, that's sort of their goal, and to make disciples. It's a mission field. I mean, trust me, the college campus is a huge mission field. And you've got kids out on their own for the very first time. What they have to make, even Christian kids need to decide if their faith is going to be, you know. They're no longer under their father's faith. They're out there on their own and have to decide if they're going to have a Christian faith or they're going to go party. So anyway, that's what Campus Crusades is all about. But one of their resources is really cool. And the best way to get there is to go to twoblindsquirrels.com and click on the link in the show notes. But the second best way to get there is to go to Google and type in CRU. .com. Okay. It's crew.com, but if you go to crew.com, you're going to get like this weird health site and with dumbbells spinning, and the website was made in like 1994. It's really bad. But go to Google and type in CRU.com and you will get to the website that you're wanting. And what it is it's a bunch of Bible studies, and they're so well put together. It's just amazing. They're like the best. It's like the best Bible study resource I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot. They have the passages that you read from the Bible. Then they break the passage down and give you history of the passage. You know, and it's all put together very neatly in order so that you know what you're doing. They're separated by page, so that you print them out. You've got one page that's background and talking points. That you can go through with the kids, or whoever you're ministering to. I did it with the kids at school, and then the second page, or the second section, which is its page of its own, is questions, and you can print those and hand them out, or you can just read them. And then the third page is the answers to the questions, just in case you get stuck and go, I don't know what he's talking about here, and it shows you where those answers came from. So you know what, and they're all referred back to the main passage that you're studying from. So. If you need a Bible study, if you'd like to do a Bible study but just don't know how to start, and that, plus they have like 5 articles about how to do a Bible study, how to have an effective Bible study. But this awesome. Resource is incredible. And I walked through with the teenagers today. I sat down with my high schoolers at school and actually did the Bible study with them and then asked them and showed them what I did. So this is how you do it. This is what I did to do this Bible study because it takes about, I mean, you can make it last about an hour or you can shorten it down to, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. I did it for about 45 minutes and then I spent the next 10 minutes showing them what I did and challenged them to then do the next one, you know, come to class and then present and then lead the Bible study. And so that way, if I can show them that they can lead a Bible study before they go off to college, hey, I'm a little ahead of the game. So that's a cool resource I wanted to share with everybody.
I'll show you. Hey, look, it looks like they have a whole series on Ephesians right there on their front page.
They do. Yeah, that's their second series. Huh. Is it on Ephesians?
Interesting. I did all of my research on my own. No, I'm just kidding.
And that's the best way to do it, really. But.
Oh.
All right. Well, in line with that, coolest stuff out there, I'll do one more. I'm only going to do one more. and then I'll let somebody else talk. But I have to tell you that I have been on a journey, people. And you, and I think, Robert, you know this. And maybe kids, you too, because I've complained about it before. But I have been on a journey to find a Bible app. I will tell you that on my phone, as of a week ago, I had 10 Bible apps. I had an entire folder on my phone full of Bible apps. And I liked something about each one of them. I mean, there was just something about this one I really liked, and there was something about that one I really liked. And one of the things that when I'm in church, is he'll give out a pastoral, say, okay, we're going to be in Ephesians 5, and I'll go to Ephesians 5, and then he'll say, now turn over to Romans 12. Well, if I go to Romans 12, then I got to relook up this passage where everybody else just has a Bible, they just put their finger in it and they flip over. So what I got to where I would do is I would just open up another Bible app. I've got 10 of them, right? So I just switch back and forth between Bible. And then certain apps have like YouVersion works great, but you have to actually go download the Bibles. If you don't do that and you're offline somewhere, then you can't get to it. Like if you're on a plane, you better have one downloaded, or if you just use YouVersion, you won't be able to get to anything. But I like YouVersion's is their social thing where you can have notes and kind of share them and stuff. And I thought it would be – actually, I thought I'd use that more than I do. But YouVersion has a very clean – it's very easy to use. It's a very clean interface. But there is absolutely no concordance. There's no cross-referencing. You can't find – they have a huge library, but it's just Bibles. There's no – concordance, there's no cross references, there's no dictionary. So I have then another app for that. And then to get my concordance, I have to have the Scholar app, and then to get the cross references, I need the Blue Bible. And then so to make a long story short, well, no, forget that. I already messed that up, haven't I? This has culminated in the perfect Bible app. I found it, guys. I found the diamond. Because there's like 50 out there on the App Store.
Well, which one is it? Come on.
All right. Well, first, let me tell you the negatives. Okay.
Oh.
Well, no, I'll tell you what Bible app it is. It's the Holy Bible app. It's by Paul Avery. That's how you, if you put in the search on, we're talking about, I don't know if it's out on Android or not. I haven't checked. But it's Holy. If you just put in the search thing on the Apple Store, in the app, iTunes app or whatever, in the app store, if you put in Holy Bible, it's the first one that comes up. But you have to put in Holy Space Bible. And you'll know that it's the right one because it says Paul Avery on it. He's the guy who created it, I guess. He's the programmer or whatever. But the thing about the negative, it's not perfect. It does have a couple of negatives. One is it's very limited on the number of Bibles. The versions. Now, I'm a big King James. Everybody knows that I'm a big King James person. So, and of course, it has that one. So, I'm good. But it also has the American Standard Version. It doesn't have the New King James. So that, you know, there's. But it doesn't have a lot. It doesn't have NIV. I don't think. But it just has about 10, and it has a lot in different languages, but not a lot in English. And the other negative is that it's not it. The Bible app itself is free, but all that extra stuff that I like costs $5, which is not that much for the amount of time I've spent. I think it's a 99-cent app. Actually, I said it was free, but I think it's a 99-cent app. But then it's $5 to get. It's $4.99 for the concordance, and which includes the cross referencing and a couple of the dictionary. A couple other little things, and then it's another 99 cents for the net notes, and which I think are worth it because those are the translation notes for the net Bible. So I love it. It's easy to use. You can have notes. You can have two different versions of the Bible open at the same time. You have your notes open. This is one that I've never seen any other version that has this, but you can actually have on the left side of the screen, you can have your Bible open, and on the right hand of the screen, you can have your notes open. So you can look at the passage while you're taking the notes. So
do you have to turn your phone landscape to do that?
No, you don't have to. It does make it easier. But it works great on the iPad too. I like it. I love it on the iPad as well. So that's the answer that I have found that I am really excited about. And I actually deleted all but UVersion. I deleted all but UVersion. The only reason I kept UVersion is so I would have access to some easier to read Bibles, so that if I needed to step down for my kids, I could go down to a, you know, a New American Standard. I mean, or whatever, New King James or whatever. I can even get the Message on the UVersion. I mean, the UVersion has all the different
ones. Yeah, right.
Yes, they have it in like Greek and, you know, 17 different dialects of Swahili. And
the other nice thing about the UVersion is it actually reads to you. So you can actually, if you put it on King James, there's a couple of versions that have an audio track to them. So you can see
the chapter. And it's a real human voice. Yeah. It's not a computer voice.
Yeah, it's not a robot. It's a person reading it. So it's pretty
awesome. So it's like audiobooks. It's incredible.
Yeah, and UVersion's free. So you get the UVersion, and I'm down to 2 Bible apps from 10. So I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
All right, I'm done talking. You guys pitch in something here.
Well, in the same sort of vein as that, Chelsea turned me on to a new app. It's called Notability. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No, I haven't. What is it?
It is a note-taking software, and it's really well-designed. You can it's almost like a desktop publishing kind of environment. You know, you can you can like type whatever you want to, but then you can also create like a text box, you know, and size it wherever you want. You can like change the color of the text box. You can go to the web from within the app, and you can like take a screenshot of a website and then just like drop it in place.
Oh, cool.
This thing syncs with Google Drive, Dropbox, and like 4 other things. You can email it.
Can you use it for presentations? Can you create?
You know, I'm not sure, but I would not doubt it.
Okay, cool.
Probably, because it seems like.
And it's App Store only. Mm.
Oh well, it's getting great review. You don't like reviews, so I'm sure it's just around the corner. But I don't like
reviews.
What's that?
I don't like reviews.
No. It's getting good reviews, so I'm sure it's just around the corner.
Ah.
For the other
superior platform.
Sure.
Oh my.
But I use it for woodworking ideas. So like if I see a picture, I just like drop it into this little, you know, notes things, and then when I click on the picture, I can actually go to the link for the website. So it's not just a picture, it's also a link. And I'm really liking it. And I tried taking notes this Sunday in church, and I was able.
Oh, did we lose Robert?
Perhaps.
Oh, we lost him. I can find Notability only comes up with audio notepad.
Hello.
There he is.
There he is.
Oh, okay.
When I looked up Notability in the App Store, it came up with audio notepad, Notability, and. It's Notability and voice recorder.
If you hit the microphone, then it listens to what's happening in the room, and you can actually bookmark it with a note.
Oh, cool.
So, like if your professor says, oh, blah, 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 then you hit the bookmark, and then you can, like, you know, add a note, and it records the whole thing. And then when you index that note, then it plays that clip or something that I haven't played with, but I know that you can do that.
Cool. And it's $3, $2.99.
Yep. And I have it for the iPad. It's totally worth it so far.
It looks like it would be cooler for the iPad than maybe the phone, because there's more real estate there.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a realistic, you know, live thing to do. Like you're trying to listen in class on your little, you know.
Cool. You know, well, that's cool.
So,
Kidge, what do you got for us? What do you find out there that's cool?
My wife recently discovered Duck Dynasty.
Oh, wow. So, just now? She's a little behind the curve there.
Well, that means we just got a lot of material to work through.
That's true. Duck Dynasty is awesome.
Yes, so we've been working our way through that and liking our little Phil sayings and our Psy sayings and that sort of thing.
Happy.
Or
you better watch that show, Jack.
That's right. Hey. Or like ducks are like women. They don't like mud on their butts.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Now, I was listening to, first of all, they just came out with season 3, and it got the best ratings that A&E has ever had. That
awesome.
The first show got the best rating. In fact, it beat two of the networks that night.
Oh, wow.
For that time frame. So that's amazing that a cable show would have, can beat. It's getting like Soprano numbers. I mean, it's really up there. And so they were talking about
Soprano numbers. Just talk Dynasty. It should not be getting numbers like that, but it's so much fun.
It is. They were talking about it on my little sports station that they have. They have a little segment in the afternoon. They do entertainment news. And so they were talking about this fact that it was getting such ratings, and they didn't get it. They thought it was like Swamp People. You know, they thought it was like, or Biggest Catch. You know, they thought it was just a show about hunters. And they were talking about how stupid people are for liking that kind of show and how dumb the American society is and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you're only showing your own ignorance, because the reason why the show is so popular is because it's a Christian show.
Yeah.
It's a Christian family, and they say a prayer at the end of every show and thank Jesus for their food. I mean, it's they're not afraid to say the word Jesus on the show. And I think there's a lot of freeing, because we haven't been able to say Jesus on television seriously, on a regular show. I mean, even Seventh Heaven avoided the word Jesus for most of its programming life. And they got way more Christian, but they were trying to be, present the principles without the man. And it's hard to do that, but anyway, the that's why, I think it's so popular. People can watch it. It's funny. It's real. You know, they get into trouble. They make they make off color comments, but yet at the end, they're just a bunch of Christian dudes wanting to kill some ducks. So and beavers. They want to kill beavers. A lot of beavers.
Oh, blowing them up.
Beavers. Yeah, blowing them up. But I think that's fantastic. And the other thing that so this goes right along with Duck Dynasty was the success of the Bible show on Sunday night. It was on the History Channel.
Oh, I have it recorded.
The premiere,
I haven't seen it yet.
The premiere of the Bible. You haven't seen it yet either, kids, because you don't have television. So
right.
But I just wanted. I don't want to talk about this show so much, because there's a lot of discussion going on with the show, the things they left out, the things they put in that maybe weren't in the Bible, that kind of thing. There's a lot of discussion on Facebook about all that. And I don't want to really get into that, because y'all haven't seen it yet, so there's no point. But I did want to talk about the popularity of it. It was the highest rated show the History Channel has ever shown.
Huh. Of course.
What do you know?
So,
it's the best-selling book ever.
It's true.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But, really, the book was better, so whatever.
And it's caused a lot of discussion. I mean, we're digging into these stories going, was that really? Because there's a part where Moses cuts the Pharaoh's face with a sword. And so everybody's looking in their Bible, did that really happen? Is that really in the Bible? Digging through these old stories for the first time, maybe since they were kids. And so for some people under 25, maybe for the first time ever, because we don't really get Bible stories in church anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think it was very interesting, and I thought it was interesting that America is still very interested. I got to turn that off. That's me doing that, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. My brother is texting me. He's trying to download the new Sims game, and he's having trouble.
Everyone is having trouble. Just let him know.
Okay.
Wait, SimCity?
Yeah.
Is that out now?
The new SimCity.
Ah, yes.
Well, it's kind of out. Nobody can get it, but it's out.
Yeah. It's apparently overloading the servers. Good to know.
They always do this, don't they? Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, that was the end of what I was going to say. Was just that I think it's very interesting that people are shocked that America is still interested in Christianity, that still wants to know the Bible story, that still wants to see shows like that, and instead of what they think we want to watch, what they think they want to push on us, political correct crap. I bet.
The history executives were like, I'll just sit back on. But I thought with all of our other shows, we already discredited the entire Bible.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the history.
Yeah,
the History Channel has spent a lot of money trying to disprove the Bible, and here they are showing an actual biblical show. So it's, I don't know what that's about.
I did think that was weird.
I was very leery of it until I found out that it was, you know, a seriously produced, you know, produced by Christians show. Mm-hmm. So anyway, y'all check that out. I'm sure you can watch it somewhere, kids, or you can come over to my house and watch it. They're issuing them every Sunday.
Okay.
And then they are available to purchase, but I don't think they're going to be available online just to watch for free. I don't think. We couldn't find them anywhere. There was no Hulu listing or anything like that.
Mm.
So
yeah, I couldn't find anything either. But we are going to the ranch this weekend, so maybe we'll see it there.
There you go.
There you go.
I want to go to the ranch. That sounds like fun. What is it?
The ranch?
Mm-hmm.
It is the cattle ranch that my in-laws own.
Oh, never mind. That sounds like a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
You never just visit a ranch. Ain't no vacation on a ranch.
I've visited the ranch many times.
Really? No, you didn't have to work?
No, I hardly have to work there. I guess I'm still a newlywed. I don't know. But going down this weekend for Aether Swift's birthday on Sunday. And there's a Ren Fair down there. We're going to go to it.
Oh, wow.
A Ren Fair.
Yeah.
Renaissance Fair.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get, you know, you got to clue me in there.
LARPers.
Right. Have you seen the Big Bang Theory when they go to the Renaissance Festival?
No.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Are they like saying, well, that's not period?
Yeah, well, mostly it was the head guy, Sheldon. You know, he's complaining because nothing was authentic. And then at the end, they talk him into going back, but he goes back as Spock visiting a planet that's caught up in, he's visiting a Renaissance-like planet. So it was pretty funny. Well... Okay, so let's skip down and let's talk about the lamest stuff out there right now. Okay?
All right.
Because by far the lamest thing out there right now is the Harlem Shake.
Yeah.
Can we all agree that that is over? Can we just call it? Can somebody stick a fork in that? Because if I have to watch another one of those, I'm going to die. I'm going to kill something or die or something dramatic like that.
Do you know what's funny is as soon as I hear that there's, you know, a meme like that, like the one right before this was what, that stupid horse dance thing?
Gangnam Style?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I purposely avoid them. I've never seen either one of them. I'm not going to watch.
Are you
serious? Yeah. I have no need for it. Because I don't want it in my brain. You know what I mean? If it's that popular, it's probably not any good.
Well, you're probably right. I didn't really get Gangnam Style, mm-hmm. and I don't really get this Harlem Shake either. I mean, it was about the third one I watched, I chuckled, and then when I saw the Snoopy version, I thought that was funny. But there's
a Snoopy version?
Yeah, there's a Snoopy version.
Googling this.
Yeah.
You know what's good is that the parody videos oftentimes are a lot better than the actual meme itself.
Yes, and that's the Snoopy. The Snoopy was a parody of the actual thing. But it's like every sports team has one. Every college has one. I was like, okay, there's 150 of these out there. And it's the same thing over and over again. There's not really anything new, you know. I mean, it's done. Let's move on. Next theme. Next meme.
Yeah. The worst thing about the Harlem Shake is that it can very quickly turn pornographic, basically.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that at all. It is not kid friendly.
No. Most of them aren't.
Yeah. I basically saw three or four and I was like, oh, these are really funny. And then I got to the ones that I was like, I'm not watching these anymore. So, yeah. Be warned.
Be warned that they can be bad.
Yes.
But if you want to watch, if you don't know what it is, don't watch any of them. Okay.
Yeah,
just save yourself. If you've already seen a bunch and you hadn't seen Snoopy, it's worth watching. Otherwise, skip it. They're all done.
That was really cute.
Okay. So then you have the next lamest thing out there right now is it's a tie, but I'm going to go with Twitter.
Twitter's lame. Okay.
What?
Twitter is turned off TweetDeck. Okay. So you can no longer use TweetDeck on your iPad or phone. They've turned off their API to other things in the past, and they just keep because they want to get their little ads out there. And I can't follow conversations. And when I do say something, nobody says anything back to me because I don't talk to them. I'm like, I don't go on Twitter for a month, and then I go out there and expect somebody to respond when I say something. Pfft, that's not going to happen. So I'm just officially calling Twitter done, and it's the lamest. It's lame.
I've moved
Twitter to my lame pile.
I use it every day. Mm. Everyone responds to me.
No, well, that's because you use it every day.
Well, I think I see the problem then.
Right. But even when I can't use it because I can't follow a conversation. I don't have
conversations.
Here's Robert just said something. What's he talking about? He said something there, but what's he referring to? He's responding to somebody else that I can't see that comment he's responding to.
There's a little button.
Yes, I know, and that little button only works about 1% of the time.
That's because they're using it wrong. The people are lame.
Okay, Twitter is whatever. Fine.
There's nothing wrong with Twitter.
It's not good. It's very good for what it can do, and that is dispensing information quickly. If you want to see what's the trending topic, if you want to see who's dead, if you want to see, or if you want to see the latest Hugo news Chavez. Article,
yes,
Hugo Chavez is dead. So. If you want to, if you want to follow a news feed, that's what it's good for. It's not good for conversations. It's not social.
Mm-hmm.
Google Plus is.
You know, the problem with Facebook is if I tweet something, 4 days later, someone on Facebook will respond to it. And I'm like, why? I don't even remember saying this. Well, except Brad. Yeah. Brad responds right away. But yeah. I'm always like, why did he respond to me on, that's right. He doesn't know how to use Twitter.
Facebook is only not on my lamest list. Trust me. And here's the thing. It's like cool. It's certain things are cool to hate, right? And Facebook is cool to hate. Nobody can say they like Facebook because if you do that, you're lame. Okay, so.
I always hate how they change everything.
Right. They change things. And they. But it really isn't that good. It really is. The only reason it's so good is because everybody's on it. So even the people who are on Facebook are mostly, on Twitter are mostly on Facebook too. So I can get to everybody, almost everybody, with a couple of exceptions, which I've about given up on, and just move over to Facebook. So, and Facebook, if I could pick my own, I wish it was just all out there and you could use Twitter and I could see the same information on Facebook that you see on Twitter, just with a different, if it was just one bucket and we just had our different interfaces that we could view it with, that would be the best. Cause then I'd go to Google Plus and be done with it.
Isn't this kind of what Yahoo's doing now?
I don't know. I don't know what Yahoo's doing now.
Yeah, what's Yahoo?
Yahoo's on my. They're the lamest out there. Yahoo's on my lame list because they told everybody they couldn't work from home.
Yeah, that's true. I heard that too. That was pretty dumb.
But what are they? What are they doing, Robert?
Well, they changed their whole thing. Basically, you know how Yahoo's always been kind of like, just I don't know what you call it, but like a landing page or like a launch.
Yeah,
like you go there. And then you go everywhere else from, but more than just a search. They have the news and the local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, aren't they going to be sort of making it, I think it's out now. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Wow, they've really changed it. Like you can customize it for yourself.
Oh, wow, that's new.
I think you can have... I think you can have like your Facebook, kind of like the timeline over here and maybe like the Twitter over here. That would be kind of interesting. I'm not sure that really people are going to use Yahoo. I just look at it to get all of the headlines
mm-hmm.
so that I can not click on the story and read it. Just like, Hugo Chavez is dead. And then later I realize, he's the president of Venezuela. I forgot about that. I didn't click on it.
Well, that's what I use Flipboard for.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've used that.
I love my Flipboard on my iPad. That is where I spend most. When I'm on my iPad, I'm usually on Flipboard because then I can curate everything. I curate Twitter feeds, Facebook feeds, news feeds from specific sources. I don't have to see all that political junk. I can get the actual news I want. Mm. So that's why I love Flipboard. But But yeah, so that's our Twitter, Facebook talk for the evening. And I throw in Google Plus there too, because Google Plus is the best as far as layout, as far as simplicity, as far as having communities. Google Plus is the best. And it's the only one that when you make a comment and then somebody says, hey, you misspelled donut, you can actually go back and fix it. You can actually edit your original post.
Yeah. Well, no, can't you do that on Facebook?
No, you can only edit your comments. You cannot edit your original post.
Hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes, like if I make a really, you know, witty comment on Twitter, invariably I will spell something wrong. And, you know, but on Twitter, I can just copy it, delete it, you know, make a change. And then most no one ever sees it. But on Facebook, I always forget. Now I have the original entry, which is stupid. And then the clever one, which now sounds stupid because I had to change it and I can't delete it.
What are you using when you post and it goes to Twitter and Facebook?
It's just a setting on the Twitter.
Oh, so Twitter actually posts to Facebook. Okay.
Yeah. And that's what everyone sees.
So you actually use the
from Twitter.
Kid, you go ahead and ask your question because you're going to ask the same thing.
You use Twitter Prime? Like original Twitter?
No. I use, on my phone, I use the Twitter app because it's sort of native now to the iPhone. On my iPad, I use Tweetbot. And on my desktop, I use TweetDeck. Each one of them has their own advantages for the device that I'm using them on.
Yeah.
It's stupid, I know, but it works.
Yeah. I use Tweetbot on my phone too, though. I don't.
And not one of them does everything that I want. So, just like the Bible, it's like the same Bible problem.
But TweetDeck is by far the best, and TweetDeck had a nice iPad app, but it doesn't work anymore.
That is so weird.
So they turned off the API for some weird reason.
Now, I think that if Facebook took out half of the stuff that it did, that I would probably use it.
Well, here's what you need to do then, Robert. You need to go and get Social Fixer. Socialfixer.com.
I think I've heard you talk about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you do that, it's a plug-in for your browser.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it like just suppress a bunch of stuff?
Yeah. It allows you to turn off different sections of Facebook. So you could turn off the ads. You can also mark stuff red and it'll just go away.
You can have your news feed be in chronological freaking order.
Yeah.
Oh, what a weird concept.
Yeah. Is that weird or what? So
I swear every time I go there, and I'm not just saying this, you know, like to be ironic and everything, but it looks different every time. And it's like I have to get reused to it. And I still someone will respond to one of my witty comments on Twitter, but on Facebook, and I'll have to lean over to Chelsea and say, okay, now how do I get to the thing where I can respond to that? And she's like, well, here, let me look at it. Oh, look, they changed it. Like, dang it. My life is so hard.
There you go. And yes. You can have different themes. You can have different colors. You can have, you know. So Social Fixer basically curates your Facebook experience for you. Now, Facebook just changed. Every time Facebook changed something, it takes him a couple of weeks to get everything back in order. And it's very easy to enable and disable if something's messing up. It's got a little button up there at the top that just says enable, disable. So,
this is so funny. I'm on that website right now, and it says download and install, and then it lists, okay, you got Firefox, Chrome, Rock Melt, something I've never heard of, Safari, Opera, Grease Monkey, but not Internet Explorer. It's crossed out.
Yeah, they don't support Internet Explorer. Because if you're using Internet Explorer and don't know how to spell cow, you're not going to like this anyway.
Uh-huh. Don't know how to spell cow.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about before we shut it down? It's 8 o'clock and Kitch has to go to bed.
Any more apps?
It's Kitch's just bedtime, so.
Yeah, that's it.
Somebody had put down some more things under the coolest stuff, but we can postpone that to the next show. The only one that's, I guess, currently topical, we sort of hinted on it, was that Hugo Chavez is dead.
And I know someone that's actually in Venezuela, and I said, hey, how you guys doing? You know, what's like the general feel? You know, how is everyone, you know, like responding to this? And she said that there's some looting downtown.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, I hope you guys are safe. But some people are really happy and some people are not happy. And so I'm wondering, is the government going to be stable?
Yeah, that's the main thing. I mean, even if it's a dictator, stability is good. Better than the opposite. So
yeah.
Well, no, I don't have any more really awesome apps. Helen downloaded the Toy Story app, the game, and it's kind of like Angry Birds, but in 3D. So it's kind of interesting and fun. If you like, if you're an Angry Birds fan, you'll probably like it. It's kind of the same kind of the same principle. You throw things at things and knock them down.
And which one is that?
It's the Toy Story app.
Oh, I'm going there now.
Yeah,
I love throwing things.
It's just out. It's 99 cents, and it's basically Buck Rogers. What's his name? From the 30 and Beyond. What's his name?
Woody. Buzz Lightyear.
No. His name just jumped. Everybody is screaming it at the
Woody.
No, Woody, the other guy.
Buzz Lightyear.
There you go, Buzz Lightyear. Thank you, Kidge.
The dinosaur.
So Buzz Lightyear throws balls or balloons, different things at those little yellow creatures. That, you know, the little yellow creatures that were in the claw. The claw.
Oh yeah.
The claw wills us. So they're out there and they're standing on blocks, and then you throw balls and try to knock them off the blocks. And it's more complicated than that. I mean, it's cutesy like that, but it really is challenging and fun. And we've been playing with that, having a good time.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yep. And that's the only, I've told you, that's all. Any more apps that you found besides Notability? I'm going to check that out.
I've been playing Temple Run 2.
Helen's in love with Temple Run. Temple Run 2. She loved Temple Run, and now she loves Temple Run 2. And there's another one like it in the Subway. Have you heard about that one?
Subway Surfers or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Subway Surfer, yeah. She plays that one, too. It's basically the same thing, except it's in Subway.
Yeah, right.
I don't like those kind of games because they just go on forever. And then when you die, you have to start all the way over.
Uh-huh. That's true.
It's very frustrating to me.
Yeah,
I want to build on my success. I don't want to start over every time I fall down or the monkeys eat me or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever that thing is.
But I'm glad you enjoyed it. She loves it. She has a blast on it. So.
Yeah.
Okay. I also found Call of Duty Zombies to be way more fun on the iPad than it was on the iPhone.
Okay.
Wait, Call of Duty Zombies? That's a thing?
Yes, it's an awesome thing.
Mm.
It's an app. It's a game. It's Call of Duty, you know, the big Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But it's but they couldn't put the whole Call of Duty on the it's just too big. It's too massive. Mm-hmm. So they there's a zombie game pack, is that what it's called, Kidge? Am I saying this right? There's a zombie game pack, which is like a mini game within the big game.
Oh.
And it's just
mini game.
Yeah, it's you and you're shooting zombies. And you run around. There's no mission. You're just trying to survive. It's kind of like Temple Run. You're just but it's really cool. It's you know, it's first person shooter, and you walk around, and you have certain objectives, like trying to get the power on, but ultimately you're just trying to survive, and you're shooting, and it's World War II, and you're shooting Nazi zombies. And there's dogs that will chase you. I'm sorry I brought that up. I'm going to end the show in a big downer. You're like,
No, that's fine.
Sound interesting to me at all. All right.
Yeah, don't know what to say in response.
Okay, I'll move these other topics to our next show. And, well, y'all, thanks for joining us tonight. Appreciate that.
Yes.
Hope that... So y'all keep your eye out for coolest stuff and lamest stuff, and we'll talk some more about that next week. And meanwhilest, we will we'll also talk about what are we doing next time? The
helmet?
Feet.
Helmet.
Oh, feet.
Helmet. helmet. Isn't the helmet next?
No.
Yeah, it's feet.
Feet are next. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll change the show notes then. Okay. So we'll talk about the feet of peace, right? Readiness. No, feet of readiness.
Of the gospel of
peace. Bible feet.
What?
Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Okay, so it's all three. Yeah. Readiness, peace, and gospel. We're all right.
Got some kids.
Bios con Dios, everybody.
Bios con Dios.
Bios con Dios.